It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Trump's abrupt decision to change course on his sweeping reciprocal tariff plan has created economic uncertainty for Wisconsinites. Our state exported more than $27 billion internationally last year.
With global trade decisions changing day by day, we're checking in with Wisconsin's congressional delegation about how to navigate this volatility.
I spoke with Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson yesterday, and I asked him if he thought Trump's tariff strategy will be effective.
Well, I hope so. We'll see how it all turns out. He obviously has a strategy in mind. I'm not privy to what that strategy is, and I understand that as well. If you're negotiating with people, you can't let them know what your strategy is either. So the more people that know, the more that might get out. So I don't know what the end game is here. I was, relieved when he paused the very high reciprocal tariffs that were going to create an awful lot of pain for Wisconsinites, for our manufacturers, for our farmers. So I'm glad he paused that, is focusing now on really the real abuser of the World Trading Organization and international trading norms is China. And that's a tough nut to crack. That's a difficult problem to solve.
You've been critical of unfair trade practices you see in China. That's the world's second largest economy. As you see Trump raising the tariff on Chinese imports to 125%, do you think an escalating trade war with China can ultimately lead to more fair trade?
I hope so. I'm hoping, and I'm cheering President Trump on that he succeeds. I don't want to see him fail at this. From my standpoint, the primary issue with China is how they have stolen and continue to steal our intellectual property. It's not just the big stuff. But I mean, even small companies that have some kind of technological advantage, China has no problem coming in, ripping off their intellectual property, stealing their products or, producing them, ignoring their patents and, literally bankrupting good businesses. So that is the main abuse. But again, through their central planning, they focus on particular industries. For example, the steel industry produced gross amounts of overcapacity, which really threatened the economic viability of steel mills around the world. So it's a very difficult issue to deal with.
So you would see the U.S. benefiting here with an escalating trade war with China?
Well, I hope we benefit from this. I hope it doesn't blow up in our faces. I think the initial reaction of the markets kind of mimicked my own concern. They obviously bounced back yesterday when he paused his retaliatory tariffs. But last time I looked, they're down again today because of the just level of uncertainty. I come from the private sector. I think the one thing that's required for investment and economic progress is a stable situation. Businesses like certainty. They do not like uncertainty. That's when they start holding on to their investment capital and stop growing their businesses. So the sooner this can conclude, the sooner that the entire strategy plays out and we end up with whatever the result will be, the better.
You worked in the plastics manufacturing industry in Wisconsin for decades before Congress. How do you think companies like the one you ran are feeling about this economic volatility? And does it make sense to try to reshore manufacturing? Is that plausible?
Well, there's no doubt that there are a number of products that are vital to our national security interests that have offshored. We need to figure out some way to bring them back. I mean, pharmaceuticals, precursor chemicals, the active pharmaceutical ingredients, advanced semiconductors, rare earth minerals. I mean, there's actually, I think, probably a really significant list of those things. But we ought to target those products as opposed to just generalized tariffs and, erecting our own trade barriers, because it makes no sense to try and bring back high labor content product. That's why it moved offshore to begin with. It makes a lot of sense to diversify our supply base. It doesn't make any sense to have all of it manufactured in China, and that's now been happening. And I'm talking to businesses who have made the investments outside of China into places like Vietnam, who then are, you know, on the back of their heels, all of a sudden with these, you know, massive tariffs being announced for some of the countries they've moved production to. So again, they responded to the earlier trade initiatives from the first Trump administration, and now there's the backlash, and they're going to potentially pay another price for having done what I think we were trying to get them to do to begin with, is at least move away from China so we didn't put all our eggs in one basket there. And again, I think one of the biggest problems we have in America is we don't have enough workers. Now, there's multiple reasons for that. We tell all of our kids they've got to get a four-year degree, so we imply that the factory work is beneath you. It's not. All work has value. We have a completely broken legal immigration system because, you know, we threw open our borders and have this mass inward migration of illegal immigration. So, again, there's a number of things, you know, causing that problem, but we pay people not to work. You know, we have an overly generous welfare system. So, you know, we have to address our worker shortage as well.
Senator, I want to get back to something you said at the outset about you not knowing the end game. Should it be up to the sole discretion of the president to have this much tariff authority?
Well, Congress has given him that authority. I think Congress, in a number of instances, has willingly granted the executive branch an awful lot of their constitutional authority because they don't want to be held accountable. If I had more confidence in Congress, I might be a little bit more aggressive in trying to claw that authority back. But you know, when we can't pass budgets, when we don't pass appropriation bills, when we don't, you know, take our power of the purse seriously, it's kind of hard to want to claw that back as well. So I think theoretically, yeah, I'd like to see Congress exercise more of its constitutional authority, give less of it away, claw some of it back. But in the current situation, that's not going to happen anytime soon. So all I can really do is make this administration aware of the collateral damage done by the trade war and, you know, hope that, you know, they're sensitive to that and can ameliorate it as best as possible.
But with that said, a group of senators have introduced a bipartisan bill to rein in presidential power and tariffs, as introduced by your colleague Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Do you support it?
We'll see exactly if it ever gets brought up on the floor. But right now, I can say it doesn't have a chance of passage.
Why not?
Because it simply doesn't. I mean, I think the House just instituted in their rules a way to prevent that from happening. So, again, that's, you know, I'm big into reality. So the reality situation is you're not going to be able to claw back that constitutional authority anytime soon. So, like I said, my role is to just make sure the administration understands the reality of the situation, the collateral damage the trade war is doing.
Do you feel like the Trump administration has been receptive to pushback from you and other Republicans about these tariffs and the concerns you have?
I think the fact that the president paused the reciprocal tariffs is evidence of that fact. I know the U.S. Trade Representative Greer, we're in contact with him. I'll be meeting with him in the next few weeks. He certainly got the case studies I gave him and entered into the record during our Finance Committee hearing with him. So, no, they're definitely open to the dialogue and communication.
We know tariffs are raised, consumers, Wisconsinites pay more. As you mentioned, companies have higher costs up and down their long supply chains. How long should Wisconsinites be prepared to wait for positive effects to kick in?
Well, again, it's one of the reasons I'm not in favor of tariffs as a revenue raiser. I don't want to tax the American people more. I don't want to drive up the cost of any products. I want to reduce the size, scope, and cost of the federal government. So I'm focusing on returning to a reasonable pre-pandemic level of spending. That's kind of what my focus is on right now, not raising more revenue through tariffs or increasing tax rates on anybody.
In terms of that pre-pandemic level of spending, we see the House passing the Senate-adopted budget framework, GOP leaders planning to extend the 2017 Trump tax cuts. Reducing the national debt, that's been a major priority for you. Will you vote for a potential tax cut that is not paid for with deficit reduction measures?
First of all, we're not cutting anybody's taxes. We're just not increasing them. So we need to prevent a massive automatic tax increase on every American taxpayer. So that's what we're trying to do. Nobody's talking about cutting taxes for the wealthy. It's just trying to prevent a massive, in excess of $4 trillion tax increase. And no, I'm going to fight hard to make sure that we have a reduction in the spending level to a reasonable pre-pandemic level. There's nobody can justify going from $4.4 trillion of total government spending in 2019 to over $7 trillion this year. It's completely unjustified. A reasonable pre-pandemic, I've laid out a number of options, somewhere between $5.5 and $6.5 trillion without touching Social Security or Medicare or current interest. So it's entirely possible. It's eminently reasonable. And that's what I'm working on and fighting for.
So you think that Americans who are in the lowest brackets, tax brackets, and are dependent on some government programs, that they're going to be okay?
Well, I want to make sure that they don't get an automatic tax increase. And all I'm talking about is probably the one we'll center on is 2019 spending. I don't think we were spending too little in 2019. You know, spending what we are going to spend on Social Security and Medicare and interest, but spending what we spent in 2019 completely increased for population growth and inflation. Like I say, eminently reasonable. I don't think anybody would be harmed in that process at all. And the benefit would be we hopefully will avoid a major debt crisis because the spending level and these deficits are completely unsustainable.
Senator Johnson, thank you for joining us.
Have a great day.
Ron Johnson is a Republican U.S. Senator from Wisconsin with us to share his thoughts on the Trump administration's use of tariffs and the economic uncertainty they have produced. We spoke yesterday.